on a November night. It was snowing, below freezing, on a Sunday night. There was a little church in Illinois. Hardly anybody showed up. The pastor was preaching, and from what I read, there's four or five people there listening. And as he was preaching, they had vestibule doors back there with little windows on them, and he said he could see through those windows. Appeared to be three men come in the door and just stay back there. So he preached his heart out. Preached just like he would if the building was full. And said about a year later, he got a letter in the mail from the White House. President Abraham Lincoln wrote him a letter. And in that letter, Abraham Lincoln said, "I grew up in a Presbyterian church. I've always had religion, and I was raised to have religion." He said, "But I didn't have Jesus until one dark, snowy night when I wandered in your church on the way somewhere else, and we had to find a place to get warm for a few minutes, and we stepped in your church, and we stood back there, and I heard you preach the gospel." And he said, "I want you to know that night I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, not just the Savior, but my Savior." So when I preach like I always preach. You never know who's listening. You never know what's going to happen. And I've been out to jail and preached to one or two at a time. Just go ahead and preach. And like the nursing home, you don't know who's there. You don't know who's listening, the staff, or you never know. And so you go to church, and even though people don't always come back on Sunday night, you just go on and preach. You go on and do Sunday school, same thing. You go on and you teach. Because you don't ever know. You never know. You do not know people's mind and people's hearts. You do not know. And we won't know most of the time until we get to the other side. So, I'm just going to preach. Joshua 14, if you look at it with me, we're going to skip around just a little bit. I want to talk to you about Caleb's mountain climbing faith. But in Joshua chapter 14, if you start with verse 6, "Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephthah, and I can't ever say his name, the Kenizzite, said unto him, 'Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old." Can anybody tell me how old that is?
85.
He was 85. "And yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for ye heardest in that day how the Anakims were there," those were giants, "and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kith-Jarbera, which Arab was a great man among the Anakims. In other words, it was named after one of those giants. And the land had rest from war. Now, chapter 15, if you skip over to verse 13 and 14. And under Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, he gave a part among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which city is Hebron. And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak, Shenai and Abiman and Talmai, the children of Anak. Lord, help us tonight. We try to explore your word, expound your word, express your word, and help us, Lord, to leave out with the word hid in our heart. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Israel had now come into their land. They finally made it. Now, the tribes of Israel have to break up and go to the appointed possessions that God has given to each tribe. So it wasn't like America. Everybody didn't just live anywhere they wanted to. You had to stay with your tribe. And so they were at the part where the possession was being divided and distributed, but they were going to have to go in now and occupy their particular portion. The land had been won overall, but just like in Afghanistan, we won the war, but now we're right back where we started because nobody went in and occupied it and ran out the remnant. And so now they've got to go into each one of these little individual places, take those cities, occupy them, and run out the people that's there. That's their job now. Well, Caleb, as you know, Joshua and Caleb was one of the original 12 spies that when they got to the promised land at Kadesh Barnea, Moses sent them in and said, go spy out the land. They came back, and you know the story. Every Sunday school teacher knows the story. 10 spies had a bad report, and 2 had a good report. And because they didn't believe God, God let them wander around there in the wilderness for 40 years until that whole generation died off, but Joshua and Caleb. They're the 2 that's left. Now, here they are. Listen to this. He was one of the original. And you know what he said? He said, when everybody else says, we can't, he said, we can. When everybody else were troubled, he trusted the Lord. When everybody else saw obstacles, he saw opportunities. You remember he said it. He said, let's go in and possess the land. God will give us the land. He'll drive out the inhabitants before us. And they wouldn't listen, but he saw the opportunities and they wouldn't do it. Everybody else was counting the odds and he was counting on God. He said, I don't care what the odds say. I don't care how many of them they are. I don't care how big they are. I don't care what the odds are. I know what God said. Let's do what God said. And they refused to do it. But now all that generation's died off and he and Joshua are standing at the entrance. And now he says, I want to go take the land that the Lord promised me way back yonder when I was 40 years old. Amen. Yeah. I want that land. He said, I'm 85, but I've still got the strength of a young man. I've got the mind of a young man. I can do it. I can go do it, and I'm going to go in there and do it. And he believed God, and there are several ways I can see that he believed God when other people didn't. Number one, look at Numbers 14:24. In Numbers 14:24, go back to it. There ain't no 24. I done got my wrong verse. here it is. Here it is. Verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. In other words, they discouraged them. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. You see that? He had a devoted character. A character is what you are on the inside. Don't anybody else see it. Character is what you're in the dark. That's what you are when you're in the dark. And nobody can tell what you're doing. Character is that guy that you can throw a $100 bill on a table at work and turn out all the lights and he won't touch it. He's got good character. Amen. There's a lot of Baptists that's probably going to heaven, but they don't have good character. You can't trust them. Amen. You can't depend on them. They're not faithful. They don't do what they said they would do. And this is the easiest thing about the Christian life, is going to church. That's the easiest thing there is. Tomorrow you'll get the real temptation. Tomorrow the real tests come on Monday through Saturday. Sunday's the easy day. Amen? And so this man had character. He was a Sunday Christian all the time. Amen? He was Sunday Christian all the time. He didn't just play it on Sunday. It was 24-7. And he had devoted character. He was a man that was different. And he was willing to go against the flow. He was willing to go against the flow. When 10 people said no, he said go. He had one man that agreed with him. When was the last time you were in a meeting and everybody said no and you stood up and said go? One of the things that and I'm going to go ahead and say it and I hope to hear it. One of the things that destroyed our mother church was they had a vote one night on pastor. And they didn't have it the way you're supposed to. It wasn't secret. Here's how they voted. Everybody that wants this man to be pastor, stand up right now. It'd take a lot of guts not to stand up, wouldn't it? And I asked several people, I said, why did you stand? You didn't want him. No, I didn't want him. Well, why didn't you stand? Well, I didn't want to be a troublemaker. Well, I didn't want people to think bad about me. Well, let me tell you something. Joshua and Caleb didn't care what the other people thought. Amen. Yeah. They thought, this is right. This is what we were told to do. This is what we're going to do. Let's go do it. They were dedicated. They were devoted to do what God had told them to do, whether anybody else did it or not. Now, that's real Christianity. That's real Christianity. Holroyd trying apologetics on Facebook. Don't apologize, brother. Just lay it out there like it is. He's got some preacher's wife that ain't even saved, putting stuff on it. She put something on there the other day. He was talking about truth. And she wrote a thing on there and said, well, what is truth? You know, what's your truth may not be my truth, and whatever other people's truth may not be our truth. And what is truth? You know, and does that sound like a preacher's wife to you? But I put on there, Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way, truth, and life. So I looked on there today, and she put on there, Ron. she don't know me well enough to call me Ron. Ron, you're mistaken. The Bible has been proved historically incorrect and all this stuff, you know, and such and such wrote this and such in time, and the Bible's not truth. And we don't know what Jesus said because Jesus never said anything. Preacher's wife. You ought to send that to the board of whoever runs that place. You ought to forward it to one of them. So, you know me, I go along and get along, and I don't stir up trouble, so I went on there today, and I said, wow. You really are an unbeliever. And I said, you got a lot of faith in those people that you're reading behind and quoting them that you don't know and you ain't never met and you don't know nothing about them. You got more faith than I do. Yeah. I said, my book has been around a lot longer than they have in their opinions. And my book has saved me and changed me and keeps me and takes care of me and comforts me. And I said, you have made these people your final authority. But you see, most of the time when the devil jumps out there, people just stand still and don't say nothing. They say, ooh, there's a giant. Ooh, man, I know God wants us to occupy that, but there's a giant. I mean, he's got six fingers on each hand, six toes on each foot. By the way, where's Danny? He's always accusing me of that. Somebody send this message to Danny. But there's giants everywhere. when it comes to our faith. But he was devoted. And he wasn't no little whippersnapper either, buddy. He was 85 years old and still standing for the truth and standing for God. He hadn't backed up or bowed down or given in or compromised or apologized. Don't you ever do that. He was devoted. Well, we can't do that. Yeah, we can. Well, we can't win. Yeah, we can. Well, we can't occupy. Yeah, we can. But because they wouldn't, then God let them wander around for 40 years in that wilderness. God said, okay, you think you can't? You can't. I'll give you what you think you can. Live out there with that stinking dirt and rocks. Amen? And lizards and bugs and beasts. He was devoted. He was willing to go against the flow. He was dedicated. And I want you to notice that verse 11 again. Verse 11, and yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day Moses sent me. He was a dynamo, buddy. I can see that old man right now. He might have been 85, but I bet he walked around like this. Go ahead, Dale. Go ahead. I guarantee he kept that chest throat out. I bet he was a man. He wasn't one of these little nickel-nipping, penny-pinching, soft-soaping, ear-tickling, back-scratching, panty-waist, pink tea and lemonade preachers. Amen? You know, them that go, well, we don't hurt nobody's feelings. He made Futrick look like a kid in kindergarten. Amen. I did say that. Did I say his name right? Futrick? Furtrick? Furtrick. Furtrick. Thank you for helping me with that. And he was a long way from that kind of Christian preacher. Amen. This was one that done stared the devil in the eye and wasn't scared of him. Stood the test. Still around to prove it. 85 years old. I meet a lot of young men come through in my 30 years. They say they're preachers, and a year, 2 years, 10 years later, they ain't even around no more. Amen. They're back out in the bars or wherever they come from because they couldn't stand it, because they didn't have the devotion, and they were not dynamos. Now, let me tell you, now, I ain't never been a woman, ain't never wanted to be a woman. I would make an ugly woman anyway. And every man that ever wanted to be a woman makes an ugly woman. I don't care how much lipstick you put on a pig, it's still a pig. Amen. Preach it, preacher. Go ahead. That ain't in my sermon. That's free right there. That ain't in my sermon. But I was born a boy, baby. Been one ever since. And I'm not ashamed of being a man. I mean, God made me a man. And listen, if you're going to be something, why don't you just be a dynamo? If you're going to be a man, why don't you be a man? Why don't you get some backbone and throw your chest out and say, I don't care what everybody else does, I'm going to follow the Lord. Amen? As for me and my house. Amen? And then I want you to notice this. He had a claim. Look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Whoa. He told him, he said, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how, and he told him that the giants were there and that God would drive them out. And Joshua blessed him. Joshua blessed him. Now, he had a claim. You know what his claim was? He had a daring claim, and it was bold, and it honored God. You know what that was? That he reminded God that God made him a promise. We're not going to go there. For the sake of time, but in Deuteronomy chapter 1, I think it's verse 36 or 26, I don't remember which one, it's one of those, the claim was given to him. This is what I'm going to give you. And listen, he stuck with that claim. And he said, that's mine, that's my mountain, God promised me my mountain, I'm not taking anything less than what God has promised me. You look at some people, you say, well, are you saved? Well, I hope I am. Are you going to heaven? Well, I hope I'm going to heaven. I want to say, either you are or you aren't. Why don't you make a bold claim and say, yeah, I'm saved. Somebody looks at you on the job somewhere, and a lot of times they'll approach you in public on the job somewhere, and they say, are you a Christian? Look them dead in the eye and say, you right about that? Yeah, I am. I am a Christian. Yeah. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Amen? Don't be ashamed of who you are. Make a bold claim on it. Say, I'm a Christian, and I don't care what you think about it, or your mama thinks about it, or your daddy thinks about it. I'm a Christian. Bless God. If you don't like it, lump it. Leave me alone. Amen? You say, well, Christians don't talk that way. Notice new generation of little limp-wrist men Christians don't talk that way. It's gotten so bad that they having to raise up women preachers because won't no man say nothing. Amen. Amen. The black churches are full of them. They're full of them because the men won't stand up for Jesus. They won't get a backbone. They won't be devoted. And they will not make a daring claim that I am what I am by the grace of God, like it or lump it. That's what I am, and that's what I'm going to be. Amen. Amen. Apologize for what God's promised you. He remembered what God said. 45 years he waited for God to give him what he promised him. And then when it got time for dividing up the land, he didn't say, well, you know, I'm not much. Just give me whatever you got left over. I'll just take whatever you got left over. I'm not that much of a Christian. No, sir. He looked over at the fellow with the books. He said, I want that mountain. That's the mountain he promised me right there. That's what I'm claiming. I don't want a little log cabin in the corner by the river up there in heaven. I want a mansion, bless God.
Amen.
If you ever sing about a little cabin in heaven, I'm going to get up and kick you in the hiney. No, you're not. That and a speckled bird, you keep both of them. Amen. Now, listen to me. This man was a dynamo. He was 85 years old. He waited 45 years, and then he kept that in his mind. That mountain is mine. God said he'd give me that mountain. God said he'd drive out the inhabitants. I want my mountain, and I'm not taking anything less. I'll talk to people. I'll say, is your whole family saved? Well, I hope they are. I'm trying. And I won't look at them and say, no, you're not trying. Because if you was trying, you'd be demanding that they get saved. Acts 16:31 says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved and thy house. You need to look at the devil and say, devil, that's my youngin. You can't have that youngin. That one belongs to me. Do you understand youngin in Michigan? Young one, okay? That's my young one. You cannot have him or her, whatever the case may be. And look at your grandchildren. Are they not part of your house? Yes, they are. Look at your grandchildren. The devil comes along, the world comes along, say, you ain't having them. I'll fight. I'll fuss. I'll bite. I'll claw. I'll hit you with a fist till I ain't got one. I'll kick you with my feet till they wear out. And then I'll bite you with my teeth. When they fall out, I'll gum you to death. You're not having my youngin. Are y'all still with me? Some women walk around saying, well, you know, I say, is your husband saved? They say, well, no. I said, well, you ought to look at him and say, you're getting saved, buddy.
Amen.
You ain't living in this house. You ain't living with this woman. You're not eating at my table. You're going to get saved. And if you don't get saved, I'm going to pray the Lord just kill you. Amen. Because she'd be better off without him. And I'm going to pray you can't eat and you can't sleep and you can't work and you can't play and you can't find no enjoyment in this world until you get saved, because God said, and my house, and you part of my house, you're going to get saved, buddy. And I'm not going to let anybody stop that. Y'all still with me? He was bold. You know, boldness honors God. All right. If you're going to stay on Facebook, sometimes you just need to write a note and say, attention, all you hussies. I am what I am by the grace of God. I'm not apologizing. If you don't like it, I'm a man of God. Cut me off. You don't want to read what I got. Amen.
Amen.
Every once in a while, I have to remind them. I'll put a note on there. I'll say, I am an old-fashioned Baptist preacher, pastor. What do you think I would be putting on Facebook? Don't read it if you don't like it.
Amen.
Come on. I mean, this guy was about 85 years old. And I'm as strong as I was when I was 40. That's what he's saying. I'm probably not as strong as he was when he was 40. I'm 60 something. Bold. There ain't nothing wrong with holy boldness. The world and these little wimpy churches and preachers have tried to teach us as Christians that we're supposed to keep our mouths shut, huddle over in the corner, wait for Jesus to come. Don't say anything in public.
Amen.
Don't criticize anything.
Amen.
Don't judge anything.
Amen.
Don't talk about anything that would hurt their little feelings.
Amen.
Just do that down at the church and do it quietly down there. That's what they want us to think. They would not like Caleb. He said, let me tell y'all something. All y'all, we're divvying out land. God gave me that mountain right there. You ain't getting it. That's my mountain. He said he'd drive out the inhabitants. He told me all I had to do was go over there and occupy the place. And I believe God. He ain't never failed me. He's never lied to me. He's always kept his promises. I want that mountain. 85 years old, you'd think he would want the pasture. He wanted to get up there where God was, man. That's something about being in the mountains. You get up there in those high mountains, you watch those clouds floating around, you feel God. Did you know people in the mountains are more spiritual than they are down here? They are. They are. They really are. How could you handle a snake? Listen, but he was a dynamo, and he was daring, and he remembered what God said. And listen, what he requested was not easy. It wasn't easy. It was hard. Verse 12, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the giants were there and there was great fenced cities and so on. He said, if so be the Lord with me, will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Have you ever noticed how biblical life does not resemble TV teaching about biblical life? Last week I was teaching on battling and building. Nehemiah was holding that trowel in one hand, laying bricks, and he had a sword in the other hand, fighting people off and rebuilding the city of God. Moses stands up to Pharaoh. He says, you're going to die in the horse you come in on if you keep it up. And Pharaoh did. He drowned, and the horse he was on drowned too. Amen? And then here comes an 85-year-old man, and he's just like he was at 40, and he says, I'm going to take that mountain. I'm killing those giants. I'm running them out. And if God will be with me, I'm going to occupy that mountain. Completely different than what the world thinks about believers. You know what they used to call us? And most of y'all don't know this. You've never traveled these circles. But they used to call us militant fundamentalists. That's what they called us. Not that we ever blew anything up. We didn't. But we would sing, I'm in the Lord's army, you know. Or we're marching upward to Zion. You know, it sounded militaristic, you know. And they called us militant fundamentalists because we would stand and we would fight abortion. And we would stand and we would fight homosexuality. And we would stand and we would fight for traditional biblical marriage. And we'd fight for those things. We'd speak out. We'd vote and we'd put in politicians and take them out on that stuff. And so we acted just like Caleb acted. Now I want you to look at something. Everybody else said you can't do it. Everybody else says it's too hard. Are y'all cold yet? Air conditioned on? All right. Everybody else, and I shouldn't be asking you, are you cold yet? Everybody else said, well, let's just wait and see what God's going to do. And Caleb said, nope, I'm getting my mountain. I can do it. With the help of God, I can do it. And it reminded me of this story, and I had to look it up. I told it a long time ago, and I don't know if I've ever told you. But one time, there was this shoe company when trading with the Far East first started, and with America and China and all that. Nobody had ever really been into China, and it opened up where people go in there and sell stuff. So this American shoe company sent a salesman, and he came back and he said, "Those people don't wear shoes. I can't sell shoes." And then they sent another salesman, and he came back and he said, "Those people don't wear shoes. I can't sell shoes." Then they sent another one, and he came back and he said, "Those people don't wear shoes. I can't sell shoes." And then they sent another one. He sent a telegraph back and said, "Send me all the shoes you can make. These people are barefooted. They need some shoes." Amen. 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 You see the difference? Is that not like a lot of Christians? Amen. Amen. And if he'd have been a salesman, he'd have been the good one. The high ground. The high ground. That's what he's looking for. We ought to want the high ground. You know, most Christians live way down here below what they could be living. They're just barely getting by in their faith. They just barely got enough church, enough religion to get them to church once or twice a month. They barely got enough religion maybe to read a little devotional every now and then. They barely got enough religion to say, "Lord, God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for our food." And they won't do that out loud in public. And they barely got enough religion, enough faith to say, "Now lay me down to sleep. If I should die before I'm," or whatever that is. We never said that. I didn't teach my kids that either. We prayed. But turn it up one. Okay. He'll sit there all night like that right there. Now, listen. Listen. This, what we need is mountain climbing faith. That's what we need. We need to look at some stuff in our life and in our family's lives. And where we've been seeing a big, impassable mountain, we ought to see a great, big opportunity. And instead of saying, "I can't get over that," we ought to say, "By the grace of God, I can do all things. I'm going to get over that. And when I do, God's going to get glory for it."
Amen.
And Caleb went there and occupied that land. You know who got the glory? It wasn't Caleb. It was God. And God saved you. You know who's supposed to get the glory for saving you? God. Not you. And God saves our children. You know God gets the glory for that. And so God wants us to have mountain-sized faith so that when something happens that everybody looked at, everybody else looked at and said, "Hey, ain't no way Ron's coming through this." He comes through it, and then they say, "God must have been in on that." There's some of you, I mention your names in public, and people say, "Whoo, I never thought that'd even be in church. There must be a God in heaven." Amen? You know why? You were a big old mountain. Everybody looked at you as an obstacle, and now you're an opportunity to give God the glory. Amen? Look at chapter 15, verse 13, 14. I'm just about through. Ain't that amazing? That's a mountain climbing obstacle. Chapter 15. Look at 13 and 14. "And unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh," I can't pronounce that guy. "Now he gave a part among the children of Judah according to the commandment of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which is the city of Hebron." And look at this. "And Caleb drove thence the three sons of Anak." They were giants. These were from the tribe of Goliath. Like Goliath was an Anakim. And these people were just like him. They were 9.5 feet tall. They had 6 fingers on each hand. They had 6 toes on each foot. The Bible says that their spears was like a big old giant beam. It wasn't just like a spear. And it says right there that he asked for it. He got it. And then verse 14, Caleb drove them out. Caleb conquested that place. Caleb won it. Caleb did. Look, with the help of God, he did exactly what his goal was. Look, he wasn't just talk. A lot of people talk. "Well, Pastor, if you ever need anything, you let me know. And that'll be the last one I'll be able to get in touch with. Pastor, you know, I've worked around church a lot. If you ever need anything around the church, just you can depend on me. And I can't find them half the time, even when we ain't doing nothing. Family members will do that to you. Friends will do that to you. But this man right here, when Caleb said he was going to do something, he did it. He did what he said he would do. He didn't just talk about it. He was a man of action. He didn't give up. He didn't back up. And he certainly didn't stop. Now, I've seen many Christians start out on this road and stop. Get a little hard. And by the way, whoever told you Christian life wasn't going to be hard? Somebody lied to you if they did. Jesus said, they mocked me, they'll mock you. They made fun of me, they'll make fun of you. He said, he said, they hated me, they'll hate you. He said, they killed me, they'll kill you. But for some reason, the average Baptist church member thinks that once you make a profession of faith, and I'm thinking Benny Hinn and Furtrick and all that crowd taught them this, everything's going to be rosy. No, you just got in the battle. You have a lot of help now. You have a helper now. You have the creator of the universe on your side now. But nobody told you you were in heaven yet. And now it's time to start fighting and don't back up and don't give up and certainly don't stop. You ever been on a long walk or march or hike or something on a hot day, and about halfway you just say, man, I think I'm going to quit this. I can't take this. And people say that about halfway. And you know what I always think? Well, if you turn back now, you're going to have to walk just as far back as you would if you'd have kept on walking anyway. Amen. So you might as well keep on walking anyway. Amen. People don't see that kind of stuff. He didn't back up. He didn't give up. He didn't cave in. Hey, he didn't care what people thought about him. He said, God made me a promise. I want what God promised me, and I'm not going to quit till I get it. God made us some promises. Listen to this. He waited half a lifetime. He waited half a lifetime. Sometimes I have people come in and say, Pastor, I've been praying about this and God hadn't answered my prayer. And I said, well, you need to wait. And they said, well, I've been waiting a week. And I said, a week? Do you know how long eternity is? He may not answer your prayer till right before you die. He may not answer that prayer until after you die. Wait on the Lord. And that's what he did. For half a lifetime, he waited on the Lord. I heard this, and there are some. I heard this ignorant preacher one time. He said, I don't ask God for anything but one time. That's all I ever asked, one time. He said, because anything more than that is lack of faith. And I thought to myself, well, why did Jesus say knock? Does that mean? Or does it mean? Why did he say seek? Does seek mean just... Now, you men know what I'm talking about. You ladies behave, okay? My wife will send me to the refrigerator and say, go get such and such, and I'll come back and I'll say, it ain't in there. And she'll walk around and she'll open that door and somehow it's in there. You know why? Because it didn't seek. I just looked one time. And in that asking, he says, asking, ask, 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 ask. And he told the story of the unjust judge and the widow lady. And finally, the judge gave her what she asked for because she wouldn't leave him alone. Amen. And he said, your father in heaven, same way. Amen. You ever had a kid just come up to you and say, Papa, I want some ice cream. 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 And you say, not right now, not right now. And they say, but Papa, I want some ice cream. Papa, I want some. Fine, you'll say, I'll buy you some ice cream if you just shut up. Amen? Caleb, half a lifetime to get what God had promised him way back at Kadesh Barnea when they stopped and they spied out the land. And he waited. You know, sometimes people that come to this church and I don't know how to say it, but they aggravate me. They aggravate me. Y'all say aggravate up north. Irritate. They irritate me. Aggravate. Aggravate. That's kind of like aggregate. It's like rubbing rocks together. But they're just, Pastor, when are we going to build a new building? It would be so much better if we had a nice building and I could bring my nice friends and boy, we could have all kinds of facilities. And while I want to look at them and say, well, I'm waiting on the Lord. And when I say that, they'll say, well, what are you waiting on? And I don't say it, but I want to say this. You quit talking about it. Put the money in the bank to build it. Because, see, they don't want to pay for it. They want me and you to pay for it. Y'all don't get quiet now. I'm not talking about you. If I am, come to the altar. Okay? Why don't we do this? And why don't we do that? And I'll say, I'm waiting on the Lord. If you ever want to get rid of your teenagers from asking you for money, here's y'all got, all you got to say. They say, Mama, can I have $20? Say, I'll pray about it. And after a while, when they come back, say, have you prayed about it? I'm still praying. And then after they're about 13, after they turn 33, give them $20 and say, here, the Lord told me to give you this. I've been praying about it. Because they don't know what to do with it when they're younger. Amen? But listen, he waited half a lifetime. You know what we need to be? We need to be Christians with another spirit like Caleb had. Amen. He didn't have a spirit like everybody else. Did you know you can feel people's spirit? People come to this church and they leave, they say, I felt the most welcoming, friendliest spirit I've ever felt in church. They say that here. But I've been in churches where you don't have that feeling. And I've been in churches where when you walk in, they kind of look at you and say, what's he doing here? What jail did he get out of, you know? Who told her to wear that, you know? And everybody doesn't have the right spirit. But Caleb had the right spirit, and he had another spirit. Unlike those other 10 people, he had another spirit. And the spirit was, yes, I can spirit. You ever get around anybody, don't matter what your idea is, what you want to do, or how happy you might be, it takes them about 5 minutes to crash, bust your balloon, and get you down in the dumps and bring in the black cloud. By the time they leave, you want to overdose on something. By the time they leave, you just want to sit there and cry like a little baby. They have depressed you so bad because no matter what you said that was positive and good, they had a comeback that was just the opposite of it. Amen? Well, they've got another spirit, but it ain't the right spirit.
Come on now.
Yeah. I want to have a right spirit. I want people, listen, me and that boy was out here knocking on doors Saturday, got up here to the top of the hill, these apartments up here, some new people moved in, I noticed that, so I knocked on the door. This young black boy come to the door with dreadlocks and his hat on backwards and tattoos and everything. And as soon as he saw me, I could tell. He thought, white man. I said, hey man, how you doing? I stuck my hand, opened the door and stuck my hand there and shook his hand and introduced myself. He started smiling. And I invited him to church. He said, what church? I said, that little church right there at the top of the hill. He said, that church right there. I'll come. I said, where are you from? He said, I just moved here from New Jersey. I said, Lord will forgive you for that. And he just laughed, you know. But finally, as we were standing there, I got to witness to him and I gave him a lot of scripture. But you know, if a Jehovah Witness had come to the door, they'd have had another spirit. And it wouldn't have been loving and gentle and kind. It would have been legalistic and hard. Brother Bill, I know some Baptists with that kind of spirit. Hard. Mean, just mean. A preacher to pull a gun out and lay it on his pulpit while he preaches. There's something wrong with that spirit.
Amen.
Amen. A preacher that'll stand up and say black people don't go to heaven. Something wrong with that spirit. A preacher will stand up and say homosexuals can't be saved. There's something wrong with that spirit. Amen? You see, he's putting limitations on God and everything that we want and everything we pray for and everything that we hope for. Those guys are putting limitations on it. And we want a mountain and he wants us to stay down there in the valley. Amen? I'm not taking it. I'll say, yeah, that homosexual, he or she is a mountain, but we can get that mountain. Amen? We'll say, yeah, that old drunk over there is a mountain, but we can get that mountain. We can overcome all that stuff by the grace of God. And what we need is another spirit in ourselves, and that spirit will just flow out into others. Have you ever noticed that you get what you produce, what you are, you get it back?
Amen.
You'll get it back. If you're negative and you're anti obedience to God, and you got a I can't, we can't attitude, it won't be long your children feel the same way.
Right.
And it won't be long your grandchildren feel the same way. And three generations from now, your great-grandchildren will be so depressed and in such a mess, you wouldn't even recognize them if you're still living.
Right.
Yep. We need that I can attitude, spirit. Now, we've all got mountains. I got some mountains in my own life. But we'll, hey, you know what we'll do? We'll sing, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as, Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland. A higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. You know what this world needs to see? They don't need to see a super Christian. They just need to see a real Christian.
Amen. Yep.
With a good attitude.
Yes.
And a can-do spirit. Amen?
Right.
You know what Caleb did? You know what the end of this story is? He took his family in there and he took it. He occupied it. You know what he had to do? Very little. God did it for him. We'll quit worrying about and trying to figure out how to fix things and do things and just say, well, God said it, and I believe it, and I'm just going to trust that.
Amen.
I don't know how he's going to do that. Somebody says, well, how do you think he's going to do that? Don't know, but I believe he will. He can. If he wants me to get in on it, I'll get in on it. If he don't, I'll just stand here and watch him. But God can, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What's your mountain today? You got one, you're going to the doctor this week. Having chest pains. Having leg pains. Same, that comes from that chest. You're going to the doctor, that's a mountain. Go in there and say, Dr. Tuttle, we can beat this. By the grace of God, we can take care of this. Amen? Some of y'all got mountains. You'll look at them sometimes and say, mountain, you're mine. Amen. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the word of God. I know, Lord. Some people don't understand it. They